The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Nicola Tallant is very well known to listeners of The Last Word. The crime editor of The Sunday World has also written a new book called The Witness, and it is an extraordinary story, an account of Joey O'Callaghan, known as The Lips, the youngest criminal in Irish history to go into witness protection. We're joined not just by Nicola, also by Joey's mother, Mary O'Callaghan. Mary, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you in a moment. But Nicola, please just give us the story of Joey O'Callaghan, how you became aware of it and why you thought it would be a book.
I suppose I'll just start by correcting you, Matt, because Joey isn't a criminal. He has no convictions, and he's one of the few really people who have gone into the witness program, protection program, in that vein, which is what I suppose makes him stand out from others. At the age of 12, he was a child who was given a job in a milk round, which has been run by a man called Brian Kenny. He was delivering milk and collecting money, but Brian Kenny was also moonlighting as a, sorry, he was working also as a, he had a heroin business, and he was delivering drugs on that milk round, and he groomed Joseph into the drug business, and basically brought him into a very, very dark world for 7 years nearly, until a murder forced Joey to flee for his life and run back to his mother and ultimately go to the guards with information, which led to the conviction of two of gangland's most dangerous criminals.
Go back to the grooming. How did that actually work?
Well, as a child, Joey was brought up in a household. His father was in the Concerned Parents Against Drugs, and his mother was a very honest, hard-working woman. When he went to work on the milk round, now he'd been brought up surrounded by drugs because the large part of his childhood was, he was living in Ballymun Towers, where, as we know, during the 80s and into the 90s, there was a horrendous heroin epidemic, and the children who were playing out there would have been, you know, been very familiar with the sights of drugs. But when he started on the milk round, he'd no idea what he was going into. He thought it was just a job for pocket money. And the first night he was handed heroin and told to drop it through a doorway. Really, he was got that night. There was no going back for him. He felt he couldn't tell anyone what he'd done. He was only a young child. He was threatened by Brian Kenny from that moment on. And really, you know, there's a very slow process, as you can see, Kenny bringing him further and further into his world, through threats, through fear, through intimidation, and through the power he held over him.
And through sexual violence as well.
Yes, both physical and sexual violence, which happened over the years while he was under his control. So, you know, in one way, it's a lot of drug dealers and drug gangs operate in the same way paedophiles do. They recognise vulnerable children. You know, they target them, and then they keep them through fear and through the power they have over them, you know, through threats and all the rest of those things. And it's very, very similar. In the case of Joey, he was held by both physical, you know, fear of physical violence and sexual violence.
Okay, and what made him then decide to go to the Gardaí, and how did he manage to get on the witness protection programme?
Well, there was the Brian Kenny and his then partner, Thomas Hinchin, who was a major drug dealer from the Clondalkin area of Dublin. Hinchin wanted to own a territory out around Clondalkin for his drug dealing operation. And there was another gang on that same area. So he wanted to eliminate them so he could have all the business. And himself and Brian Kenny went out and they murdered a young man by the name of Jonathan O'Reilly, a 24-year-old guy who they killed outside Clover Hill Prison one day. They returned to Mitchellstown Cottage, which was Kenny's compound in North County Dublin, and they went in and basically started washing themselves in petrol. They handed Joey their leathers and told him to destroy them, and then they handed him the gun and they told him to hide it and to keep his mouth shut or they'd kill him and his family. And, you know, that for him was just a step way too far. It was so far outside his moral code that a young man could have been killed that he, from that moment, really very bravely planned his escape. And he went home to, he one night had an opportunity to get out. He went home to his mother, Mary, who's on the other line there, and Mary brought him to the police.
Mary, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. Tell us a little bit about Joey as a teenager, as a child, as a teenager, and what you knew of what was happening to him, how he got caught up with these individuals.
Well, for his age, he was very small, and he was always needed to defend himself, and I had always kind of instilled in him that because we had lived in Ballymun, that not to be around these type of people, to keep away from it, and them. And, you know, my biggest fear was that the circumstances around where we lived, you know, it was outside your door, you know. It was shortly from just coming in inside your door. That's how close it was to us. And I just always drilled it into his head, you know, you don't have anything to do with these people. You keep away from them. If you see anything going on, just run, you know. Don't stop or say anything or get involved.
So what did you think then when he got involved with this guy, Brian Kenny? Did you believe Kenny was simply operating a milk run, or had you any suspicions about anything else he was involved in?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. 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 Because, I mean, had I had any signs or hints of what was going on, he'd have been out of there.
And what age was Joseph when he effectively ended up living in Kenny's compound?
I'd say he was probably about 14. And, you know, it wasn't an intentional thing like that. He was kind of just, how would you say, manoeuvred into it. He was like building something out the back garden, and he needed him there to help him, and it was it just went on from there. His partner had a baby and they needed a babysitter, so it started like from staying, you know, maybe one or two nights to increase, and, you know, and at the time, as I said, I didn't know what was going on, and he had been kind of palling around with, you know, younger people, we'll say brothers of other criminals.
But then when he came back to you in his later teens and told you of what he had been involved in and what he had witnessed in relation to Kenny and Hinchin and disposing of the materials used in a murder, I mean, what did you feel then?
Shame. I'd let him down. I should have been a better mother. And then I also understood his fear and why he didn't come to me, because he had been obviously groomed and threatened as to what would be done to myself or his siblings. So rather than him, Joseph, allowing that to happen to me or his other siblings, he was prepared at such a young age to take that all on his shoulders.
You brought him to the Gardaí. How helpful were the Gardaí in helping him give the evidence and then in providing protection for him and for his extended family?
Well, they were fine up until the trial. They looked after him. They made sure, you know, that we as a family were looked after. I had to leave my home and move somewhere else. And they made promises which they couldn't keep, the witness protection. And they promised me that he could stay at home. You know, we could move together, stay as a family. And then 4 to 5 weeks after the trial, I was told he had to go, and I got to say goodbye to him in a pub car park.
Nicola Tallant, I'll go back to you. Tell us a little bit about the Witness Protection Programme, what it involved.
So the Witness Protection Programme, I think, originated in the US when they were trying to stamp out the mafia, or certainly control it. And it's there for a reason. It's an extremely vital arm of that the state has in its fight against organised crime. And really, in a lot of organised crime, it's the only way you're going to get a witness into court is to protect them. Because you have somebody like Kenny and Hinchin there in the background, two very violent criminals. And when you hear Mary's story, Mary was a very good mother. She was a perfectly good mother. But Kenny was Kenny was somebody who was able to manipulate people. He was a very good liar. He was all those things that really a psychopath has traits of. In actual fact, in much, much later, when Joey was receiving very sort of high-end psychological help, Kenny was described to him as having the traits of a psychopath with no remorse, no empathy, and you know, being as sneaky, really, and as vindictive as they are. So, you know, in a lot of cases, we sort of tend to maybe judge people when actually, in the case of if you were dealing here with a paedophile who'd groomed a child, we mightn't be as quick to judge the parent, because I think we understand it more. I think this is something that we're sort of really only starting to understand, and it's the likes of Joey's story that is helping us to. But the Witness Protection Programme, you know, basically they will protect an individual who's giving evidence. They cannot be seen to be enticing them to give evidence, so they have to just literally stand back and protect them and not speak to them about the trial. Once the trial is over, the witness is usually signed off the programme. In the case of Joey, he was very, very young. He was only 19. He was very damaged by the time he'd been with Brian Kenny, and I think it was later recognised that he didn't get the proper psychological help that he should have before he was sent out, really, to fend for himself in the world. You know, most people that are on the programme would be older, a little bit more worldly wise, and maybe they have something to gain from the programme, but not in the case of Joey. He simply told the truth. But at the same time, the programme is vital, and it's a very, very important thing that the guards have to fight against organised crime. And
you
the
see,
likes of,
the other thing, you hear about these programmes in the United States, Nicola.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you commit crime if you're getting protection because you're not a criminal in New York, you might be sent to California. If you're in Florida, you might be sent to North Dakota. What happens in a country as small as Ireland?
So it's outside the law for me to discuss exactly who the partner countries are or where the places are that people are sent to. But for example, there's a lot of countries around the world that will operate with us, and we will operate with them. So we take in their protected witness. They're basically helped to set up a new life. They're given a new identity, a new PPS or whatever the equivalent is. They're given a background story, and you know, they're given help to get onto the social services in the new country, maybe to get a job, or maybe to establish, you know, to buy a house or to get on the social housing scheme. So all that they're helped with as they're coming off the programme. But then they're sort of left to fend for themselves. And as I say, a lot of people that are on witness protection are well capable of fending for themselves after that, in the aftermath. But somebody like Joey, who was so vulnerable in the first place and who didn't really receive probably the proper psychological help he needed when he was on it, you know, to be sent out. Like later on, much later on, as detailed in the book, he did go for a long period of time to the Priory for help. And there he was diagnosed with a number of illnesses, including post-traumatic stress disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder. None of these things was he born with. All of them were traced back to his time with Brian Kenny or his time on the Witness Protection Programme. So all of them are treatable, by the way, you know, and it's like, you know, a mental illness is like having an illness in another part of your body, and if it can be treated, you can be well. And as such, he is well now, having had that intensive treatment. But, you know, he needed that at the time before he was sent out to fend on his own.
Mary O'Callaghan, just to finish with you, Joey is what age now? 35, is it?
Yes.
Do you get to see much of him?
No, not really. We would have daily contact, obviously, on the phone, but no, I wouldn't get to see him very often.
For safety reasons, or?
Yes. Say, 100% safety reasons, no other reason.
That must be tough, is it?
It's very hard. It's heartbreaking. And especially at this time, you know. But it's something that we've learned to live with. And we just have to manage it as best we can ourselves.
Okay, well, best wishes to you and to him as well. It's a fascinating story. It's called The Witness, and it's been written by Nicola Tallant. Nicola, thank you to you as well for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.